I didn't drop a stone, but I am so thankful to be here, be back in Virginia, and visit one of my favorite communities anywhere. Thank you all for having me. And like all of us, I guess I got a little knocked off script this week, huh? And thank you for posing one aspect of the problem so eloquently. It's a tough place to be where we're at right now. And when I was thinking a few weeks ago about this visit and thinking about what we would what we'd share and what we'd talk about, it had to do with what I call, and what a lot of people call, mindfulness. Yes, I live in Boulder, so yes, I take yoga. yes, I don't have a hood ornament, but I got a bike on the back of the car, because that's how we roll, literally. I love Boulder. It is one of the most kind, warm, receiving places I've ever lived. I've ever been lucky to live. It's also, we actually realize, we are aware of how insulated we are. You know, when you live in a welcoming place and you live in a place filled with such warmth, you get it. You begin to feel like you're in a bit of a bubble. We even call it the Boulder bubble. So when I drive eastward, as I do with some regularity, 1,756 miles to get here, and I get across the rest of the country, I really try to put my finger on the pulse of what's going on. I don't always succeed. I'd like to take some of the original things I wanted to talk about and try to contextualize them a little bit to maybe help us come to some, not just an understanding, not just an empathy, but maybe an action. You know, the word yoga means action. It's actually a linking, a yoking, which is where the word comes from, of skill and action. And I'm sorry, empathy leaves me a little short sometimes. It's like hitting the like button on Facebook. It's a gesture. Maybe it's a gesture in the right direction, but it's not an action. So how many of you, I'm curious, how many of you are practicing yogis? Anybody? Yeah? Oh, good. So you know the Nataraja, right? You know that image of Shiva dancing the cosmic dance with all the arms and the legs. Did you know each of those limbs, each of those appendages holds a very specific meaning? The one leg rooted very firmly on this little demon-like critter. That demon-like critter represents ignorance. So that's our strength. That's our action to trample, if you will, ignorance. And then there are the arms, you know, all working in this circle of flame, which is both destroying and creating. For every action, there is an opposite action of destruction. That can be a very empowering thing. For every action of hate, we can create an action of love. It's that local, it's that mindful, it's that much of a direct action against a hateful action. So personally, I begin there. I begin there with that flame that is both creating something and destroying something. Okay, back to the limbs, because they're really fun. There's a limb that holds the drum, the Dhammastu. That's the pulse of the universe. I tell my world music class, what came first, rhythm or melody? I know the answer. I'm sorry. It's, you know, it's that rhythm, that it's that pulse that is in all of us and from all of us out through the entirety of the cosmos. There's another hand that is holding that flame I was talking about. There's another hand across the heart to indicate that we should have an openness of heart in all of our actions. Every one of those images creates this call to action for me. I wrote my first book. I've done a lot of creative things, but I have to say, writing is my new action, I think. I've written a lot of music. I'm an academe, so I'm used to the writing act, but when you actually have to commit what your course of action is in print, well, there it is. You know, and it's a thick book. I mean, Gutenberg beat me, but geez, really, right? I mean, I had a lot to say about it. And the very first words in the book speak to events of this last week and not so distant past. And it's a quote from William Butler. It reads like this: "The only things we truly hate are unfamiliar things." Let that sink in for a minute. The only things we truly hate are unfamiliar things. And you know, you are by nature skeptical people, so some of you think, no, I don't like broccoli, and I know broccoli, and I still don't like broccoli. My heart goes out to you. I'm sorry. I love broccoli. But you don't hate broccoli. You just make a conscious decision not to engage with broccoli. Come to my house, and I might convey a different approach to broccoli, because I have 20 million different ways to prepare broccoli. Maybe you are unfamiliar with broccoli in a context that you could actually like. But on the serious side of it, you know what this, you know the profound nature of this aphorism. I recently wrote about fear and loathing and how we excuse ourselves to loathe, to hate, based on fear. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. What I'm trying to figure out in my life is, what's the action to counteract that loathing and to dispel that fear? Many of us are parents, it would seem. Some of us are now grandparents. We can start with instilling in our children and grandchildren a sense of losing that fear, and replacing it with a familiar sense of acceptance that can be a positive action, be that flame that also consumes the hatred that existed before it. And, you know, this is the way I talk to my guitar students, too. It's not just how you move your finger. It's how you stop moving your finger badly. Every action has a counteract to it that we can utilize. So maybe empathy can get us to that first action. You mentioned our elected officials in Washington. Okay, that's a no-brainer to me, what that action lies ahead of me. I can tell you, for instance, what each of my senators got from a particular lobbying organization, and I can tell you one of them will never get my vote because of the money that went into that campaign. And it's not about political parties. I lived in Virginia for 30 years, and I voted for John Warner 6 times because of an action he took that so touched me, even though we were on opposite ends of the political spectrum, an action he took that was so rooted in his sense of conviction. I walked up to the man because I was playing for an event that he was at, and I said, however long you're a senator, you got my vote. Thank you for that. It doesn't matter what the event was, although it was local. It was an event that was all good for Loudoun. But the point being, he wasn't weighing the consequences, the political consequences of that action. You know, the thing about action, it's one thing to set a course of action that's maybe the right action, however we define that. But the minute you start putting attachments on it, the minute you start putting a sense of condition on it, what's the reward or the consequence of this? You've already diluted the action. You know, acting without a sense of consequence or reward is a good way to make sure your action is coming from the heart. Boulder is filled with people who do good things. And I know this because they talk about it all the time. You read their feeds and they're talking about the good things they did. And the, you know, I love my people, but they're kind of attached to maybe their sense of self-importance at times. Something else that you learn in the world of yoga, and I got to tell you, people get distracted by yoga. I mean, I think yoga's become a bit of a, you know, it's like Pilates or aerobic exercise or cycling. It's become sort of a thing you do to you know, combat flab or whatever. But it's, once you get past the physicality of yoga, yoga's a way of opening yourself to possibilities. And we've got to look at the events of last week as an opportunity of a wealth of possibilities. I guess, and maybe it's the leaper in me, I'm not prepared to just feel defeated. Yes, I was sad. I was really sad this week. I'm not going to stop at sadness any more than I'm going to stop at empathy. Let that be our first step into action, is really what I'm saying. I would also like to address another aspect of this action that both creates and destroys. I mentioned I'm also a teacher, a professor at a college, a music professor. And part of that notion of dispelling fear, to dispel hatred, comes with some education. One of my favorite aphorisms I learned from my eighth grade music teacher, I still live by this. It scares other educators who think they have an answer to any given problem. It reads like this, and her name was Mary Cole, is Mary Cole. I cannot possibly say it the way she said it with her Alabama accent. But she would say the following: education is what you have left when everything you thought you knew has been shot to hell. Eighth grade. I'm listening to this teacher telling me basically, once I processed it, so what you're telling me, I'm eventually going to have to destroy with my own judgment. You know, I'm going to have to replace it with my own sense of judgment, my own path. You know the symbol of the Ouroboros? The Ouroboros is that figure eight snake devouring itself while it's also giving birth to itself. You know, that's the image I think of when I think of this concept of not being stuck in our sense of knowing a situation, understanding a situation, looking at new possibilities and new ways of maybe making some bridges, and accept that we don't have that answer, and start anew every day. Be a beginner every day. I ain't a half bad guitarist. I'm a beginner every day. It's the way I try to wake up every morning. The piece I played as a meditation is called Rise. And if I could play it for you again, you'd hear that pulse of possibility that permeates the piece. And lines, you know, basically trampling each other like that strong leg on the demon of ignorance. We need to, each of us, arise to the action we feel within that's going to displace that negative action that we've all been encountering. Empathy's not enough, okay? That's my call to action. Thank you.